I want to make one more comment about Isaac, and that is, remember how rich Abraham was? The Lord said, I will bless you, and et cetera. There's an entire chapter in Genesis devoted almost to the riches of Isaac. In 1 year, God doubled his wealth. I want you to think about that. I mean, Abraham, whenever Isaac was taken captive, had 318 servants in his household. And so Isaac got the inheritance. And the Lord in 1 year doubled what Isaac had. I mean, he's an amazing character. I think I'd overlook that as I've studied Genesis. I mean, just the implication of that and the power that it enabled him to have living in that promised land, even though he was a pilgrim in that promised land. All right, let's get to Jacob and Esau. This month, and then we've got much of January to finish the book, and there's so much, and I find myself trying to decide what to leave out just so I can say we made it all the way to Joseph's death and Joseph's bones on the last class meeting. That's what I want to do, and so we're going to have to look at. I am going to assume that you know these Bible stories, that's a mistake. I remember when my daughter-in-law went to Freed Hardeman. She just obeyed the gospel when she was a senior in high school and wound up at Freed Hardeman. And she said, I'm sitting there in Bible classes. And they'll say, well, that's like Elijah and Naaman. Okay. First of all, who's Naaman? And for sure, who is Elijah? I mean, you make that assumptions and everything. And so here she is with all of these young people, you know, good Bible students from all over the place, and she's a babe in Christ, and she doesn't know the story. So if I say something about a story that you do not know, I would encourage you to read it. There is a story about Diana, and that's Jacob's daughter, and her being raped, being taken by a nobleman there by the name of Shechem. I remember when my teenage son read that in the Bible, he came to me, Dad, I cannot believe this is in the Bible. And I'm rather hesitant about mentioning it here, but there are so many interesting stories there, and I will only mention the brief details. They wanted to intermarry with Jacob and that wealth that he had, you see, and to be a part of that. And so they come and they said, we'd like to marry you. Now, in the background, the text says they wanted to do it because they thought they could get their possessions if they could give their daughters to them and take their daughters and everything. And Jacob's son says, well, you cannot marry our daughter. We cannot marry you unless you are circumcised. You know this story at all? And so the entire tribe is circumcised. And on the third day, to use the text, while they were very sore, Jacob's sons go over and kills every one of them. And when my son read that about that circumcision and them being very sore, I mean, he was absolutely amazed. If you haven't read that story, you might find it interesting. And there's all sorts of implications of it. There's a moral part of it. There's deception that is a part of it. And there's all those things that are. But so you're trying to decide what to leave out. That's something I left out. But I just remember Gary's reaction to that when he was reading the Bible through and he came across that. He said, Dad, did you even know this happened? Because it's not the sort of thing that you talk a lot about. And so I thought I'd just go ahead and mention it to whet your appetite to sit down and read the book of Genesis. You do not know the book of Genesis, I promise you. You know bits and pieces. You know the highlights of a lot of stories. But there are a lot of things you do not understand. Let's talk about Jacob and Esau and their early lives. What do we know about Jacob and Esau? Well, first of all, their birth is interesting in and of itself. Rebekah did not have children. Isaac entreated the Lord that she might have children. And so though he was 40, Isaac was 40 when he married Rebekah, he's now 60 years of age, 20 years of marriage, and they have no children. So he entreats the Lord, and so Rebekah becomes pregnant with twins. And when they were born, there's interesting things that one of them was named Harry and the other was named Trickster. Now, that's not exactly, that's sort of a modern application of words that we would understand. First child that comes out is Esau, and he has hair all over his body. Yeah, I mean, he was a hairy child when he was born, and so they named him Esau. And that means hairy. And then his brother came out, but Esau came out first. But as he was coming out, Jacob comes out having a hold of Esau's foot. He's tripping him. And so they call him supplanter is the King James word. That's not a word that we readily understand. Trickster is a word, I think, that we can get a whole lot better grasp of it. This guy is a guy who's going to play tricks on you. Now, it's interesting, the nicknames we give our children sometimes influence their personality. I am not sure about how much that impacted Jacob's life, Trickster's life, but I do know he was a trickster. You begin talking about the birthright and the blessing that Jacob stole from his brother. And then you talk about the fact that Laban, when he got over there and he was looking for a wife, guess what happened? The supplanter becomes the supplantee, if that makes sense. You remember having to work 14 years to get his wife and 6 more years to get his wages. And during that 6-year period of time, Jacob says to Laban, "And you've changed my wages 10 times." So in 6 years, that's, what's that ever, 7 or 8 months, something like that, you've changed my wages. And there's some real interesting stories in there, and we're going to get to some of that today. I don't know how much we'll look at it in detail. But it's rather interesting that Rebekah has a favorite son. Now, the implication may be that Isaac had a favorite son. I mean, Isaac so much wanted to give that blessing to Esau. There might have been a lot of reasons, but I mean, he was really disappointed at the trick that Jacob had played on him so that he could not give Esau the blessing and instead gave the blessing to Jacob. But from the very beginning, the Bible talks about the fact that Rebekah showed favoritism. Look at Genesis 25, verse 28. I put the verses down, not about every point. I could and perhaps should have put down verses for every point. But one of the reasons I did not is to encourage you to go in there and read the whole story and see those details, because if you only look at a few verses, you think that you've got it all. But he says, Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, and Rebekah loved Jacob. So I guess that is rather a strong indication that Isaac was prejudiced. What impact does it have on children to have a favorite son, have a favorite child? You know, Chet, you probably were not, having Lonnie as your sister, you probably were abused as a child and neglected and everything.
By Dirk also.
And by Dirk also. You understand? You know, if you're a baby in the family, and that's not true of modern days where everybody's got cameras and everything, but way back, family photos, you ever look in photo albums and everything, were you the baby in the family? I mean, here's this firstborn. They've got a baby book for this firstborn, and they've got two or three baby books for this firstborn, come to think of it. My, every time they went to Disney, they came home and they made an album for it and everything. Second child comes along, and second child, you know, maybe gets one book for the entirety of their first 6 years of their life. If you're number 3 or 4, you know what your worry? I wonder if I'm adopted. There are no baby pictures of me in this house. I mean, they're all over the house. There's this face. You know, here's the favorite son, favorite daughter, and photos everywhere. But if you're the last child, and now then, you stop and think about it, and this sounds chauvinistic, but it is rather interesting that verse 27, so the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. Is that chauvinistic to say that the male side of Isaac loved the male side of Esau? You know, if you love baseball and your child loves baseball, you got a favorite son. You understand what I mean? And it's not wrong for Jacob to be mild. I just love the terminology that the text uses to describe this individual. I studied this out of the New King James. I cannot remember what the Old King James says, but I don't think it says mild. Anybody got the Old King James, or what does it? It says what? Okay, so Jacob labeled Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now then, all of a sudden, from these boys growing up, it says, now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me that same red stew. Got a picture? Wait a minute. He's been out hunting. He's not 2 years of age, is he? Are you aware we have got a gap, and you fill in the number of years there, 15 years, 20 years, 15 years anyway, perhaps 20 years gap between verse 28 and 29. Because there is this event that where the deceiver tricks his brother. And here's how it happens. Esau had been out hunting, and when he came in, Jacob has some red stew that is there. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name is called Edom. Let's stop there for just a moment. I think that maybe the word is on the next slide, but let's leave this one up for just a minute. The word Edom means red. But have you ever heard of the Edomites in the Bible? Oh, yes. Are you aware there's one entire book written to the Edomites? I bet you didn't know that. Indiana Jones went to the place where the Edomites lived. You remember that the city that he went to where they had carved back into the rock cliffs there and built houses in which to live? The Edomites are a constant source of trouble to the Jews. Where on earth do the Edomites come from? They come from red. And so when I first typed this down, I wrote down the words red and trickster. I wrote that down as the meaning of the name. And I thought, no, he was called Edom because he was called Esau because he was hairy. So we've got Esau, the firstborn, and we've got Jacob. Now then, he says, sell me your birthright. And I remember as a child having trouble deciding the difference between a birthright and a blessing. You know, people just assumed that you know meanings of words, or maybe they don't know, and maybe they're not able to make the distinction, or maybe they choose not to make the distinction. What is a birthright? Now, my English teacher would be upset because you cannot define a word using words. She was as wrong as she could be. You know the best definition of birthright? It is the right that you have because of birth. That's what it means. And I couldn't figure out what was the birthright and what was the blessing. You remember whenever the Rebekah was involved, we'll talk about that a little bit later, whenever he steals the blessing. But he says to Esau, sell me your birthright. I think it is rather interesting that in the laws of many states of still in America, and perhaps this may be in Florida, some of you can shake or nod if you know about this, but if a man dies and he leaves no will, how is the estate divided? Well, if they've got five children and there is a wife still alive, the wife, I said five children, the estate is divided into six parts, and she gets two of the six parts. The children get the other five, if that makes sense. And so she gets a double portion. If they're just two children, and let the wife be dead, and this fits this scenario even better, Rebekah is likely dead when Isaac dies. And so now we got Jacob and Esau. The law in the Old Testament was you take the estate and divide it into three parts. And the right of the firstborn, the birthright, is to receive a double portion. I think it is amazing that the framers of our country and those early writers of state laws and everything were really impacted by the Bible. And it goes all the way back to this time right here. Do you know how much he paid for a bowl of red stew? One translation doesn't have the word stew. I thought the New King James did. It must have been, yes, verse 34. What's inside that stew? Look at verse 34. It's called what? Lentils. What is a lentil? It's a bean. This redneck brain of mine, he was eating a pot of pinto beans. And it had some other things that were in it, but it was red and it was beans, had beans in it. Now, you know, if you like Mexican food, you can make it chili. You can make it whatever you want to, but it is a red stew that has beans in it. And he sold half of the possession that was his by right for a bowl of beans. How can you be so stupid? But do not people do that? Think about the number of marriages that have been impacted because the wife or because the husband has a momentary period in her life in which he is involved with some sweet young thing he's met at work. Wonderful, godly wife at home. And he cast it all aside. And that happens often, doesn't it? You think about how easy it is to give up that which has great, great value to us. And so the possessions of Abraham that became the possessions of Isaac, and think of how rich Isaac was. Those possessions could have been Esau. I think it is interesting that Jacob flees as a result of the next deception, and that is the blessing. And when Jacob comes back from having married and had children by four different women, when Jacob comes back and he and Esau are reconciled, they are both extremely wealthy. When Jacob comes back, he's afraid Esau will kill him. So he starts sending gifts. I think he sends several messengers, people ahead of him, not just one group of individuals with some of the sheep and possessions that Jacob has gotten over there when he's been working over there for his father-in-law Laban. And whenever he gets over there, Esau says, "I don't need any of that." And so they're both, the Edomites and the Israelites. When I say Israelites, think Jacobites. Edomites, Esauites. And I know I made up two words. But the Edomites and the Israelites have constantly problems throughout much of the rest of the Old Testament. When they're coming out of the Promised Land, they want to go through the land of Edom and Moab and everything. They have trouble even getting permission to cross over that land to get into the Promised Land. The Esauites and the Jacobites are having conflict. In that book of Obadiah that is written to the Edomites, to the Esauites, there was that occasion when Jerusalem was being surrounded by another nation, and the Jews were fleeing from that city. And Obadiah says, God is going to destroy the Esauites, the Edomites, because whenever they were fleeing, when God's people were fleeing from the city, you stood in the crossroads and you captured them and turned them over to this foreign nation. Therefore, God is going to destroy that city of Petra that's in that movie, Indiana Jones. Going to destroy it all. And that's the end of the Edomites. But it all comes from a pot of red bean stew. And so, Jacob says in verse 23, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his right of birth. He sold his right of birth to Esau. But it doesn't stop there. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit right now about what that blessing is. In biblical times, and this goes all the way back particularly to biblical times, to what Jacob later was to do to his own children. Jacob called all 12 of his sons together and pronounced a blessing upon them. Where'd that begin? Well, it began for sure, though the pronouncing of the blessing may not have been expressed, with Abraham choosing Isaac over Ishmael. And in this part of the Bible, we're going to read about the blessing that was given, and God was involved in that blessing. And it is a promise from God of the destiny of that child. You look over in Genesis 50, when Jacob blesses his son, and what does he say about Judah? Says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah until the Messiah comes, until Shiloh comes." Well, now, what's that all about? Well, we know who the Messiah is. Are we aware he came out of the tribe of Judah? By birthright, he should have come out from Reuben. And Simeon, but they messed it up, and he tells in that very occasion, Genesis chapter 50, because you messed it up, you're not going to get the primary blessing. And I think it is interesting in reference to Simeon that the Lord says that you will be scattered among the nation. When in the time of Joshua they come in and they take the promised land, you look on your maps in the back of your Bible and you'll have trouble finding where it's divided among the tribes. You know those maps that are there? You'll have trouble finding the land that Simeon had. Why? Well, they went down to that part of the land. They didn't drive the nations out, and so they lost that land. Well, where do you first read about that? When Jacob blesses his sons. And so it was common, at least during this period of time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for the father to pronounce a blessing upon children. And that is what the blessing is all about. And so we're in chapter 25, you look in chapter 26, and all of a sudden we're back to Isaac again. But we've already talked about Isaac somewhat, and it's in this chapter that you read about how blessed he was. And so in verse 34 of chapter 26, Esau was 40 years old. Wait a minute. How much do we know about these 40-year-old twins? The birth, birthright, and that's it. Now, isn't that amazing? Yeah, that's right. Isn't that remarkable? Esau was 40 years old, and he took as wives Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite. Who are the Hittites? You remember the Girgashites and the Jebusites and the Amorites? You remember all those ites that are over there? He married a Canaanite woman. Well, that's what he would do, is it not? Wait a minute. No. Wait a minute. Where did Isaac get his wife? You remember Abraham took his servant and made his servant swear that he would not let Isaac marry a Canaanite woman, go back to my people and find a wife for Isaac. And so Rebekah came. The servant went, and that's one of the stories in Genesis that we didn't have time to look at, but he brought her back. Guess what's about to happen right here in reference to Jacob? Jacob is about to be sent away from home. It's not in the text yet, but he's ready to where we're reading, but he's about to be sent away to find a wife. That is interesting. So all of this happens when Esau is about 40 years old. And then you get to chapter 27, and this is that story that we know well. Isaac blesses Jacob. It came to pass when Isaac was old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. You got to stop. You got to think about, you got to get a mental picture. How could all this come about? Well, here's a blind man, and he cannot see. I think it is interesting that when Isaac is old, that's chapter 27, verse 1, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, he called Esau his son, and he said, "My son," and he answered, "Here I am." Then he said, "I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Therefore, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat it, and that my soul may bless you before you die." I've just got a plan. You ever have a plan for your life? Yeah. Did it work out? No. And this is not going to work out. You read this story for the first time, and I think it is a fascinating story. When I've been able to teach it to Hindus, it is amazing how intrigued they are by this story. And you ought to read it with the idea of the fact, this is a revelation from God. This is what was happening. And so you've got this situation. And the favoritism of Rebekah is shown. Because the next verse says, Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau. Well, didn't he know she was there? No. Why? He's blind. He can't see. And so she's listening. Your wife's ever listening to your husband's conversation? Husband, do you ever listen to your wife's conversation? It's life, isn't it? She's hearing it, and so she makes up her mind. And Esau went to the field to find that wild game. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of Jehovah before my death.'" You see in the text the word Lord, and it is in all caps. If you've got the New King James or the Old King James, that's the translator's way of letting you know, and this is not the ordinary word for Lord, this is the name Jehovah. And so she says that, that I may bless you in the presence of Jehovah before I die. "Therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go to the field and bring for me there two kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves." You want to stop there long enough? Here's an old man. What do you live for when you get old? Is it eating? Is eating sort of the highlight of your day? Are you aware Rebekah had the ability to make this goat taste like wild game? I find that so interesting. You know, you would have thought at least once a month she'd given him his favorite food, that she has the ability. And so they bring this goat, and I don't know if you've ever eaten any goat. You know what goat tastes like? Goat. It's definitely not a roast lamb. You know, they're cousins, but there's a real difference. Now, the Hindus have been among them a lot, and some of you do this in this church. You put curry in that goat, and there's nothing better than curried goat meat and the sauce that goes with it over rice. I mean, I absolutely love it. And there are individuals who make it. When we have a dinner on the ground, they'll say, "Dan, my curry is on the third table over. It's not on the first two. My curry is on the third table." And so I can hardly wait to get there. And I get there, and the gluttons have eaten all my curry before I got there. But you understand. But goat tastes like goat. It's like when we were in Africa. And we went down to the Carnivore. Carnivore was the name of that restaurant. And they had probably 18 different names on the blackboard there of what my son-in-law said, that's the roadkill they find every day. Because all 18 were not shown all the time. They didn't have them in the refrigerator. They just put a check mark by it. So we were there, and I got crocodile, and I got giraffe, and I got zebra. And guess what crocodile tastes like? It tastes like alligators. That's what it tastes like. So I got the crocodile. The giraffe was okay. It wasn't beef, but you know what zebra tastes like? Horse. I've never eaten a horse in my life, knowingly, but I guarantee it had a horse flavor like you would not remember. Isaac is sitting there waiting, and in walks his son, and he says, he went in and got them and brought them to his mother. Rebekah, verse 15, took the clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, his younger son. Why'd she do that? Why'd she put Esau's clothes? All right. There's the indication that he smelled him. Do your children smell different? Esau and Jacob smell differently. So when Esau walks in, and it's not Esau, but he thinks it's Esau, he smelled his clothes. I find that remarkable. Is she a conniving woman? I think so. You know, wonder where the trickster learned his trickery. It's real interesting how he's got a mother that's pretty good at it. And so Esau goes into the presence. So he went in and said, "My father..." He went in to father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob says to his father, I'm Esau, trickster. He's not. Well, Esau doesn't believe it. Guess what? Those voices are different between Jacob and Esau. Esau's not had COVID. He's not lost his taste and his smell. He's still got that, but he hasn't lost his hearing. But he said, this is not Esau. And then the text says that he went over and to... Jacob goes over, and the father touches the back of his neck, and it feels like Esau. What's on the back of his neck? Goat hair. Where else is that goat hair? Where'd she put it?
On his hands.
On his hands. Isn't that amazing? You know why they called him hairy? Have you ever rubbed a goat? If you go to a petting zoo, you ought to rub a goat and understand why they called him hairy. I'm serious. I know goats are different in different parts of the world and everything, and I have that understanding. But I find that as I read this story, I just stand back in amazement that fools Isaac. And so he pronounces a blessing upon him. And so this blessing brought about a tremendous strife between Jacob and Esau. If you want to read the blessing, look in Genesis chapter 27. He thinks he's blessing Esau, and what he says determines the destiny of that child. You got to hear this. I'm starting in verse 27. He came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothes and blessed him, saying, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. You've been out in God's creation, and the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you that which is out in the field, the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, the plenty of grain and wine. How's that land described later? As a land that flowed with what? Yeah. And he says, may the Lord give you that, and the fatness of the land, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. How many brethren does he have? One. Now, I understand, brethren, it can be a whole lot more generic than that. But if I'm Esau, or if I'm Esau and I heard that, I'd say, yep, finally. That little favored son of my mama's going to get what he deserved, because I am going to be over my brethren. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. I have to find that interesting. Your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who blessed you. Cannot take it back. That's the destiny he thought he was giving Esau. You ever have plans? Ever seen how those plans come and how they crumble in front of you? And so when Esau comes in, he weeps. The text says he wept bitterly, and he begged his father to give him a blessing. I cannot give you the blessing that I've just given to your brother. So verse 41 says, after all of this has transpired, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessings which his father had blessed him. He hated him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Therefore I will kill my brother Jacob. And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, son, obey my voice, arise, and go see my brother back over the land where I came from. And then she says, and stay there You see the next statement in verse 44? For how long?
A few days.
You know how long a few days are?
20 years.
Did your husband ever say to you, I'll be there in a few minutes? What he does is biblical. Because she says a few days, and few days is how long before she sees her son. Are you aware? She could have died and may have died. How long did he work for the first wife?
7 years.
How long for the second wife? 7 years. How long for wages? 6 years. Go there for a few days and then come back home. And Jacob leaves thinking, I'm going to be gone for a few days. Jacob has a dream, and we'll start with this next week, but I want to make one point to sort of whet your appetite. He leaves because he's scared to death for his life. And he has a dream. And the dream is of a ladder that goes from earth up to heaven. And guess who is at the top of that ladder? God himself. And Jacob is amazed, saying, this is more than I can begin to imagine. By the way, God makes the threefold promise to Jacob. That's where we're going to start our class next week. Great land, a great nation, great land, great Savior. What's this Jacob ladder is all about? John chapter 1, verse 51. You don't understand Jacob's ladder until you read what Jesus says. Did I say 41? I meant to say 51. I hope I said 51. Jesus says to Nathanael in verse 50, because I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than this. Assuredly, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the sons of man. That's the New Testament application of this place. Now, Jacob named that place where he had the dream Bethel. Bethel means house of God. He put a monument there. He'll come back to this place a little bit later in his life, to Bethel. Important Bible place. And the name means house of God. The way to go from earth to heaven is through Bethel. Bethel means house of God. And the New Testament describes the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, hope to come to you shortly, but if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Bethel, the church of the living God, is the path to heaven. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am that ladder. Thank you very much.